Welcome to the Lost Dog Podcast at the Trans-Pyrenees Race number 2, supported by our race partners, 200 Magazine, Physique, Kinesis, Komoot, Pedaled, and Tailfin. I'm Ian Broom, and over the next week or so, I'll be bringing you all the ups and downs from the Pyrenees Mountains. Together, we'll follow the progress of more than 150 riders as they set off from Saint-Jean-de-Luz on the 30th of September, with 1,500 kilometers of adventure ahead of them. In this first episode, to set the scene, you're going to hear from last year's winner, Thomas Jacquelinet, as well as Ellen McDonough, a Tour Divide veteran who's riding a first TPR and has eyes on a top 10 finish. You'll also get to hear the thoughts of Jim Stewart and Rachel Batt, transcontinental veterans who rode as a pair in the first edition of the TPR. I'll be chatting to Jim and Rachel throughout the race, as they're going to be helping me share and discuss the key stories of the day on our daily episodes of this podcast. And you can take part too. We'd love to hear your thoughts and questions, so please do get in touch by emailing tpr@transcontinental.cc. Okay, let's learn a little more about the race itself.
Hi, I'm David Eyre. I'm the race director for the Trans-Pyrenees. So I joined the Lost Dot team back in January of this year, and I've been working with Anna and supported her to run the Transcontinental race earlier this summer. And this is the first race that I'll be leading and working with my new colleague, Andrew Phillips, who's joined the team after the completion of TCR. The Trans-Pyrenees is a 1,500 kilometre self-supported bike race across the Pyrenees two ways. So starting on the Atlantic coast and going all the way across to the Mediterranean, and then turning around and going all the way back again. So 40,000 metres of climbing, so definitely one for the Grimpers, and we're sure set for an exciting race this year. So I think the thing that I'm looking forward to the most is the sheer drama that the mountains can provide. So the thing that sticks in my mind is how quickly things can change in the mountains. So whether that's the gradient, whether it's the weather, whether it's the type of surface, whether it's your condition as a rider and how good you're feeling on any given ascent or descent. I think that there's so many different variables that mean that there's yet a lot to watch unfold and a lot for the riders to be thinking about. And I think the kind of planning, preparation and execution for all of those different eventualities is what makes this such an exciting race.
The Trans-Pyrenees is an unsupported race. It's about good planning and tough decisions. The riders have to reach mandatory control points and complete a number of parkour. But everything else is up to them. They can choose their own adventure, and those choices can have a huge impact on what kind of race they have and, of course, who wins.
I think some of the choices that the riders are going to have to make at different points that could really be turning points in the race will be exciting. And so there's a couple of different points along the way in particular where we know that there are choices where riders can either take the longer tarmac route and stay on short terrain or take the shorter gravel cut-throughs. And I think that it's those sort of choices that I'm really looking forward to seeing take place, and understanding a little bit more about the race strategies for the different riders will be great. And then also really looking forward to actually seeing how the kind of fixed route on the way back works. We have a range of ways of measuring the progress of riders across the Trans-Pyrenees. So we have active controls, passive controls, and also passive parkour. So the active controls are where we have volunteers who come out to the race and who will stamp the riders' brevet cards, write their time down and record that, and that'll be things that go directly onto the leaderboard that we have up on the Trans-Pyrenees website, and we'll be covering in our different social media posts as well. But then we have the passive controls. So that is a point which all the riders need to pass through, but that we validate that by using the Follow My Challenge data. So from the trackers that each of the riders have, so that we can see their progress. And we use that data to see that they've gone through there. And then the passive parkour is a bit of fixed route that we have in the race this year. And that is really to do two things. One, to keep them in the high mountains. And so we want to see them tackle some more beautiful cols across the Pyrenees, but then also to bring them out at points where they have to make some of those choices that I mentioned earlier, that the choice between tarmac routes, gravel routes, and really thinking about what that might mean for their race and their strategy overall.
The TPR shares the same rules as the transcontinental race. They are intentionally short and clear, with the onus on the riders to make sure they understand and stick to them. Rule 10 is especially important. It's what defines the ethos of the race.
We have the 10 rules that govern all of Lostock's races. They're simple rules, and they help to guide the way that riders approach the race, plan for it, and also conduct themselves. The first 9 are simple and specific. The 10th rule is slightly broader. So the 10th rule is about the spirit of the race. And what this means is really about the riders understanding what it is to have like fair and transparent competition with your fellow riders and making sure that you treat them as you would wish to be treated as well. So this is something that we particularly look out for and actually have rewarded in the past as well as a specific kind of thing for the people who finish the races as well, because it's something that is really close to our hearts and thinks something that helps to guide the kind of philosophy that we have around the way we run the races.
The first Trans-Pyrenees race was won by Thomas Jacquelinet. Having done previous TCRs and several other ultra-distance events, he was drawn to the mountains and came home first, despite a bad nighttime crash that could easily have ended his race.
I'm Thomas Jacquelinet. I remember being not quite well prepared for the event, to be honest. And I just wanted to do something with the climbing. I remember it was what I enjoyed most during the first TCR, you know, in the Alps and being in the mountains. I really loved it on the bike. So I was like, yeah, looks nice. Just some mountains climb. I really want to try that. And I was pleasantly surprised. I really didn't really expect to win, actually. I remember the first climb because my preparation was not that great. I remember suffering a lot on the first climb, and people passing me was like, damn, it's gonna be hard. And then the further along it got, the better I felt. And I was just like, you know, in my zone and just in a good state of mind. And when I arrived like at the Cap de Creus, the midsection, I kind of checked where I was in the race, and I didn't really know until then. And I felt like, oh, actually, I'm not that far ahead from the top of the race. So just kept going, didn't really check on the tracker. So I knew I could just carry on until the end, but because, you know, I just was in my zone and wanted to do my things and have fun in the end, if that's possible.
TPR1 was mostly dry and conditions were pretty good. With the start now just days away, like most riders, Thomas has one eye on the weather, knowing the difference it can make once you're out on the mountains.
Looking at the forecast for the weather, it seems like it's gonna be wet, even though it's not gonna be very cold, but it's always tiring to cycle. To be cycling, you know, ultra distance in wet conditions, it's never comfortable. So if you're not comfortable, it's gonna wear you down at some point, and you're gonna get cold faster. So I think the condition this year might be a little bit more difficult because of that. Because if it's gonna be wet, if it's wet and windy, and you never know in the Pyrenees. This season you can have it all. Like the last time it was summer temperatures and weather. You don't know, it could be this year, it could be worse. We'll see.
Having won the last TPR, Thomas gets to wear cap number 1 this time round, and he'll be one of the riders expected to be near the front again. I asked Thomas about his aspirations for the race.
Well, to be honest, being back in the mountains in the fall time, it's beautiful. And, having some fun on the bike, if that's possible. Not being too much miserable.
The COVID-19 pandemic led to the Trans-Pyrenees race being cancelled in 2020 and again in 2021. That means it's been 3 years since TPR1. And though there will be lots of familiar faces on the start line, the list of riders features plenty of new names too.
I am Eleanor McDonough, and I've done a few ultra races. The first one that I ever did was called Trans North Georgia, and it's a 350-mile race, mostly on dirt and single track with a lot of elevation, just through the mountains of North Georgia. And I did that kind of on a whim, on a single speed, and I was hooked. I loved it, kind of finding that that flow, I guess, of not focusing on anything other than the moment. So other than that, I've done the Tour Divide race and several long tours. So I haven't done a ton of races, but the ones I've done, I've loved, and I've done pretty well at. So I signed up for TPR, I think, because I was looking for a big challenge, and I had followed along with Transcontinental for years. The shorter distance of TPR made it seem a little bit more accessible, and I also really like riding in the mountains. I think I'm most excited about just being in the race. It's been since before COVID, since I've done a bikepacking race, and I'm looking forward to just the long days of riding, being out at night, and having an adventure. This race in particular, for me, there are a lot of unknowns, not having ever ridden in Spain or France. I was looking for something that is outside of my comfort zone, just for the challenge of it and, the adventure.
Preparation is key to any ultra-distance race, and TPR comes with specific challenges and choices. Which route to take, what gear to bring. I asked Eleanor how she'd been getting ready for her first time in the Pyrenees, and the kind of mindset required to keep going and push for the front.
I've definitely studied the maps for, in particular, the parts where we create our own route, and I've tried to keep my expectations reasonable and just not try to make too strict of a schedule and just keep things loose, because I know that unexpected things will happen and we'll just, have to go with it. There's definitely some difficult route decisions that I kind of mulled over, kind of looking at road surface versus mileage versus elevation gain. And I guess we'll see how my decisions on that play out. But as far as gear choices, I've tried to take everything I absolutely have to have and nothing more, which I guess that's probably what most people do. But I will be prepared to sleep outside just to have a lot more flexibility with when I stop for the night. A lot of the decisions I feel like will just be where to stop for food, how to keep stop time to a minimum, and just keep moving. That's the main goal, is to just move forward. I think a lot of it is just staying mindful of what you are doing, and our instinct is to try to be comfortable, and it's easy to get caught in that and want to stop and just take a break. But after doing ultras before, I do know that a lot of these things pass. Like, even if you don't stop, a lot of times you can kind of just move into a different mind space and your energy returns, your mood changes, and you no longer have that same need. And so I think it's just being aware that those waves are going to come and go. And when you're at a low point, reminding yourself that you won't stay there, and reminding yourself, well, for me, just the goal of pushing myself, even if it's not comfortable, that's my goal.
I'm Jim. I did the first TPR in 2019. Races like this, there are multiple races within the race because there's the guys and girls going for the win who are racing outright to be the quickest. And then there's the people, the majority probably of people who are racing to finish before the cutoff for the party. Then there's people who are racing to finish full stop and they're just challenging themselves to complete the route. The riders like ourselves and mid-pack riders might be looking to make it back in time for the finish party, but the guys that are at the front of the race, they want to finish as quick as possible and they're going to need to know roughly where they're going to be at any given time to see whether can they go over this pass at midnight and are they going to be safe to do so. And they're going to be, I would imagine, really nailing down their route and knowing exactly where they'll be when at what point through the event, just so that they can have a good feel for whether they can or can't push on. And then if that's ingrained before they even get there, then it makes the decision making easier because they've already thought about it in depth.
Hi, I'm Rachel. I did the first TPR riding as a pair with Jim. We chose to do TPR because we were in part excited by the personal challenge of doing more than one ultra in a year. We'd done TCR the year before, so in 2018. And when it came to 2019, we were just like, oh, there's a new event. Should we do it? Yeah, let's do it. And it was just a personal challenge. Our race went really well. And we found that our route planning was pretty good and our timekeeping was pretty good. And just we got lucky, basically. So everything more or less went to plan. So our experience of it was really good. We really loved all the off-road sections. We loved the quiet roads. And we love the mountains. So for us, like TPR, if everything went well, was always going to be a winner.
There comes a point when the time for preparation is over. There is nothing left to do but trust your judgment and pedal. That moment is almost here for our riders as the start of TPR approaches. What does it feel like to be on the start line, the only way forward, up and over the mountains, not knowing what challenges might lie ahead?
It's hard not to feel nervous, certainly for somebody like me, even being excited about it, even knowing that there were going to be friends at the start, which is always a bit more relaxing. You've always got in the back of your mind, like, have I got everything? Is my route okay? If you're a sort of old hand at ultra racing, then maybe you don't get those kind of nerves as much. But you still can't not feel nervous, or I still can't not feel nervous standing up at the start. You just do mull everything over, and it's all the little things. So you're nervous from missing your flight. You're nervous from, will you miss your train connection? You're nervous from, and it all, like, slowly, 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 all those things tick off. And then you're stood on the start line and you're nervous. Then the gun goes or whatever, and you set off. And the feeling's amazing. It's like you and your bike, you set off into the night, and it's just, suddenly the nerves go and you're just riding your bike. You get that buzz and the nerves go.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that makes TPR special for me is the mountains. I mean, I love being in the mountains. I love not just riding, but walking and, you know, skiing or whatever else you want to do in the mountains. I like being around them. And when you get to spend an ultra race from start to finish, within that, it's nothing better than that from my perspective.
Like, every day is like a special day because every day you're hitting some coals, some beautiful little villages and things. I guess that also makes it tougher, but it is very tough. It is intense. It's a lot of climbing per kilometre, but it's worth it.
It's hard to talk about the Trans-Pyrenees race without using that magic word, community. There's always a winner, of course, and those who scratch and don't quite make it to the end. But the experience is one that's shared, one where stories are written and friends are made.
I've always felt, especially with the Transcontinental and Trans-Pyrenees, there's really a sense of community and belonging and feeling welcomed. And that's true that it contributes to the race spirits and wanting to be part of it. And yeah, it's something that maybe I will not realize in my first years because I didn't have any other experience to compare to, but it kind of feel like it's something that matters now to me and that could matter to a lot of people, especially the sense of inclusivity. I really enjoy that kind of, you know, fresh air it brings into the scene, into the cycling scene.
Well, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, ultra racing generally has a great community, so it's not just specifically TCR, TPR, it's all the other events as well. There's a great sense of camaraderie between the different riders who turn up. You see familiar faces quite often, because whilst it's grown in popularity, there is still a fairly niche group of people that like to race their bikes in this way. So I guess it's those shared experiences on the road, the tales you get to tell each other at the end, at the party, which everybody wants to make. That's kind of what brings everyone together, I suppose.
Ultimately, this race relies on the hard work of a small core team, but really wouldn't be possible without the support of a network of volunteers who come out to the race, who will be at the controls. They'll be at registration in the start, they'll be at all of the controls and at the finish along the way. And equally as many, again, back at home. So our race monitors, our race investigators, our team leaders, supporting those people to see the way that the race is unfolding, make sure that we can adjudicate it really fairly, and playing a really important part in our ability to work out the final results as well. So I think that I can't overstate just how important they are for our ability to run the race and just how much we appreciate them giving up their time, their energy and their effort for something which they clearly care so deeply about. That's really special.
This sense of community and the spirit of the race referred to in rule number 10 were essential to Mike Hall's vision when he founded the Transcontinental Race in 2013. They provide the foundations on which the Trans-Pyrenees race is built too.
So the race was something that Mike had been talking about for a while. And so in 2016, I believe Mike and Anna had started planning out a route that would see riders come and take on the incredible coals of the Pyrenees. Unfortunately, Mike had passed away by the time that we got to run TPR number one. This is definitely a really strong part of his legacy and was something that he was really keen to see take place. And I think that Anna's done a fantastic job in both getting this event off the ground, but then also helping to grow it and attract more riders to it. So I'm looking forward to being one of the people tasked with sustaining that in the coming years and also helping to grow it further and helping more people experience a beautifully hard bike race in the Pyrenees.
The next time you hear from me, TPR number 2 will be well underway. Jim and Rachel will be back to join me on the first of our daily episodes where we talk you through all the day's action. Again, you can send us any questions to tpr@transcontinental.cc and follow the race on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Thanks again to our race partners, 200 Magazine, Physique, Kinesis, Komoot, Pedaled, and Tailfin.